Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf yud. We're holding 6-7 lines from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins, Sanat Hossam. We spoke yesterday about Chamira Sakantam Isura, and in particular we spoke about the potential Sakona of Mayim Migulim, the reason why there was a problem in the good old days, and many are still no hague today. The Inyan of Giloy, or Mayim Migulim, is because of the concern that a snake, Chas V'Sholem, might have gotten into that mashka, drunk a little bit of the mashka, and then in turn regurgitated back into the mashka and left over some venom in the mashka, which of course that would be very dangerous. Nowadays, most people are not makbid on it because we live, quote unquote, in civilized urban areas where you don't have too many live snakes running around. But in fact, if you live in a rural community, this could continue to be a concern, right?
But I'm saying I think the Gemara was not, but I don't know.
And there are many even today that live in New York City where there are a lot of cats and dogs, especially here on the west side, but you don't have too many snakes. And they're still makbid on my mikul. That's correct. Tanan Asim. So what does it say in the Mishnah? Gimel mashken asur mishim gilui. Not everything do you have to be concerned about. You only have to be concerned about mayim, v'yayin, v'cholav. So apparently the snakes have a desire to drink from these three mashkois, but not from others, so others you do not have to be concerned. The question is, kama yishu v'yiyu asurin, how long does this have to stand with nobody watching it so that it's mayim megulim, and it should be asur? Is it twice, 5 minutes, a half an hour, a day? What says the Mishnah? Kedei sheyetzi harachash mimokam kore v'yishta. What's the word rachash? Rashi says rachash means sheret. And the sheretz that we're talking about over here is the nochash. For the amount of time that it takes for the nochash to get out mi mokim korov, take a drink. Break them over, kama mokim korov, that really doesn't help us too much. What's mokim korov? Does it mean from across the street? Does it mean from a mile? Amar Yitzchak b'Rei Rav Yehuda, kedei sheyetzi mitachas oizen kli. Virtually every kli has a handle to it. And the Gemara refers to an oizen. We love dafka oizen. It means something like a handle. And maybe in the handle itself, there might have been a hole where the snake had been hiding, and now the snake smells one of these three mashkois and wants to give a dive for it and jumps out of that hole. So the amount of time that it takes to leave the hole or leave the enclosure and the handle where the nochash was until now, the ishta, and drink, that's the amount of time that you got to be concerned. Obviously, we're talking about very, very short amount of time. We're talking about twice, 10 seconds, maybe 15 seconds, maybe half a minute, but something very, very short. So if a person left Mayim Megulim in the room, he went to use the facilities, comes back, after he says, Ashiyotza, and he's, oh, yeah, I left this Megula, he'd have to be concerned because that would have taken longer than the amount of time to be Yotze Mitachasa Ozen the Yishta. Frank Timara, if that's the amount of time that you're talking about, Yishta, HaKachazile, we're limiting it to his leaving the hole and drinking, and we're saying that is the amount of time. Frank Timara, if you didn't give him a chance to return, that means that you actually can still see him. If you can go and see him, then you know. Is there snake there? Is there no snake there? Says Zimor, you got a good point. What I really meant is Eliyishta v'yachs lechuray. So we allow him for a return trip back to wherever he started off from. So adding there for another 5 or 10 seconds to the cheshbon, a few seconds for him to leave the hole, a few seconds for him to go and drink from the mashka, a few seconds to get back. That's the total amount of time that we're talking about, which of course is a very short period of time. Now we get back to Hilchos Shechita, and in particular, the requirement that one has to go and be bodek the sakin after one does a shechita. We had this already in the Gemara yesterday, that I think it was Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel that said that every time you do a shechita, the shochet should be bodek the sakin post shechita, as well as we spoke about being bodek the mokum hashechita to make sure that the simonim were properly severed. So shochet b'sakin, a person taka shechted. We're talking about a b'diyevet situation. He already shechted with a sakin. V'nim tzis peguma. And Rashi says, we know for a fact that pre-shechita, he had checked it, and it was perfect. That was no shaila that this chalif entering into the shechita was perfect. After the shechita, v'nim tzis peguma, now we see, there are nicks in the sakin. The question, of course, is, How did the Sakin get the Nick, and when did this happen? Did this happen pre-Shechita, and therefore this Shechita was no good, or did it happen post-Shechita? So we have a machlokes here between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Omer Rav Huna, afel shibur ba atzmes kol hayoyim psula chayshin and shem ba'or nifgama. Even after the Shechita, for the next yoyim, 5 hours, 10 hours, he's used the same sakin to go and chop bones. You remember we learned in the Gemara back on Friday that every shoychet should have 3 separate sakinim. One for the shechita, one to go and cut the meat, which includes the bones and the veins and the arteries and whatever else goes into carving up meat, as well as the 3rd one for chalovim, as you recall. For draping, very good. Sorry?
Nikur is called?
Nikur is the draper, yeah. To go and remove all of the wonderful
chalovim,
etc. Yeah. But getting back to our Gemara, so the Gemara is now saying, what happens if he in fact did use the same chalif, the same sakin that he used for the shechita, he also used it to go and cut up the meat, including cutting up some of the bones. After the shiba kabbat, some is called a yoin. Even if he goes and uses it for Shviras Atzamas, and after that, then he says, oy, 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 I ruined this sakin. Look, there are nicks in it. Now I understand why the rabbis in the Talmud said, make sure to have separate sakinim. I really messed up over here. See, with Shiva Atzamas Kalayan, what's the halacha? Therefore, normally I could attribute to the fact that the sakin is pogam to the fact that I was Meshaber the Atzamas, and that at the time of the Shechita was good. Says Rav Huna, no, nevertheless, a filu shibar psula. Why? Chayshin and Shema be'or nifkema. Although there's a good likelihood that the reason why the sakin became pogam was because of that atzamais, but it doesn't have to be. It could be that somehow or other at the time when he was initially shechting, even before he reached the 2 simanim, when everything more talks about simanim over here, we're not talking about simanim like we have in other mesachtes, we're talking about the 2 pipes, that is the windpipe and the food pipe, the trachea and the esophagus, the veshit and the kana, etc. We're going to have this numerous times throughout the mesachta. So it could be even before he reached those simanim, as he was first slicing the or, that's the hide of the animal, the skin of the animal, before you reach the simanim, maybe over there was some tough piece, and it got nifgam on that or. So by the time he reached the simanim, it was already pogum. Says Rav Huna Ibazoi, since we don't know for sure, the halacha is that it's osir, you cannot go and eat psula, tunish esenifin. This is Rav Huna Lishitosai, that if you remember, Rav Huna said yesterday, we have an inyan of relying on a chazaka. What did Rav Huna say? If you go back to Tes Amud Aleph, about 3 quarters down the Amud, the Gemara was talking about the Mai Kapinflagi, but Rav Huna, the Amar Rav Huna said, Behema b'chayeha b'cheskas iser oimedes, a behema, as long as it was alive, it was becheskes isur. Why was becheskes isur? Because it was eiver menachai. You're not allowed to go and eat from a live animal. So it remains with the chazok of isur. Until you know for sure, b'men ishchata, how it was geshochten. In other words, whether it was done properly or not done properly. If you don't know for sure that it was done properly, it remains becheskes isur. There's no way I can know how this sakin became nivgam, whether it happened as a result of the oir pre-shechita, or the pre-shechita sasimanim, or if it only happened later on because he did the shvira satsamas. There's no way I can know. So therefore, it remains in its old cheskas iser, ad sheyivorelchon, to you know for sure, b'me nishchata, how it was geshochten, was it geshochten properly, when it was still a nice clean blade, or unfortunately when there was already a nick in the blade as a result of the option. I don't know. Cheskes Yisrael. So this is Rav Huna Lishitosai, and we're going to make reference to this in another few lines in Mi'at Hashem. Rav Chisda, however, respectfully disagrees, and Rav Chisda Amar Kshayra. Why? Because why should I assume that it happened as a result of the Ar? There's a much greater likelihood that it happened as a result of the chopping of the Atzamais, as the Gemara will explain momentarily. Rav Chisda Amar Kshayra, I assume it's kosher, Shema bi'etzem nifkama, rather than being tola that it got nifkam as a result of the oir, I'm going to be told that it was on one of the shviras atzamas. And so to Abishlaim Rav Huna Kishmaite. Rav Huna, we understand why he said it's possible. That's Lishitase of what we just looked up on Tes Amid Aleph, that a behema remains Becheskas Isser. Until you know for sure that it was a kosher shechita, and I don't know for sure. And Rav Chizda, my time. What's the reason Rav Chizda says, no, it's not a problem, I'm sure it was because of the Atzamais. Omalachi tells you a very, very poshita svara that we find throughout Shas. Etzem vade poigim. There's no question about it that if you go and use the best and the sharpest knife in the world, if you're going to use it to go and cut up bones, eventually a pagam is likely to occur. It's not definite, but there's a good possibility. And we know etzem vade poigim, the very fact that you're using something to cut up at some ways, after a while, it's poigim. It's a heavy-duty type of item when you're slicing it, when you're cutting it. Or something poigim, something loy poigim. That's such a minute possibility. Of course, it's always possible, but it's much, much less likely. So therefore, something Morris says, it's like a situation of a suffik and a vade. Etzem vade poigim. Or suffik poigim, suffik loy poigim. Have a suffik of vade, then suffik moitzi midei vade. And so therefore, says Rav Chizda, I'm willing to go and be told that the begam in the knife is a result of the slicing and the chopping of the atzmos. Moshe Rav Lisiul Rav Huna. So Rav now asks Akasha on Rav Chizda and brings a riot to Rav Huna. Remember, Rav Huna was the one that said that this sakin is now pogam and therefore the shechita is possible. Don't eat from the meat. What happens if a person went? He was tamei, but tovan he went to the mikveh, and Baruch Hashem he toivul, the olav he came out of the mikveh, and then subsequently the nimta olav dover choitzit. When he was coming out of the mikveh, he didn't have much time to go and inspect anything, so he just dried himself off, got into his clothes, and everything is fine. And then at night, when he went to put on his pajamas, he notices, oh yo yo, there's a chatzitza somewhere, some paint, some glue, something attached to him. In a case where he would be makbid olav, and therefore it has a din of chatzitza, and the question is, how and when did this happen? It's clear that if this chatzitza happened prior to the tefillah, then the tefillah was worthless. It's clear that if it happened post tefillah, then the person is tohar. Same type of situation. It's a parallel situation. I don't know when this chatzitza arose. Did it arise pre-tefillah or post-tefillah? Says the Braisa. Avu bishin es asik bo yisem in kaliyem kulay. Even though post-tefillah, he was in fact busy with that very min that he now finds attached to his body somewhere. So it's a good likelihood that it happened post the tefillah because he's been this asik bo yisem in kaliyem kulay. What's the din? Loi olza loi tefillah. The tefillah does not help because although there's a good likelihood it happened post-tvila, but there's a possibility that it happened pre-tvila. Achiyoymar, bori li shalei hoya olai koidem lechein. Until he's able to say, well, for sure, what I found now is red paint. The last time I used red paint was 50 years ago. After the tvila, yes, I used red paint because I had to go and paint something or whatever, but not before. I didn't look at red paint, I didn't see. When I saw houses that had red paint on it, I always looked in the other direction. Nothing to do with it. If he says barley, then we can go and say also late tvila. But if he cannot say barley, no good. So now let's use that same analysis and approach of Rav Chizda. V'hocha d'vadei tova, no question, he toivul, he came out of the mikveh, he was wet. Sofik havale, maybe he had this paint, he had this chatzitza, whatever, prior to going to the mikveh. Maybe he only had it after coming out of the mikveh. And what do I say? Because he's sofik umoitzimidei v'adai. And I allowed for the sofik that maybe this paint, this chatzitza, whatever, was on his body pre going to the mikveh, and I'm saying, no good, you gotta go back to the mikveh again. I'm not sure whether you in fact became tohar or not. No, so isn't this the very svara of Rav Chizda? And the Braisa dismisses that svara and says, no, the tefillah was no good because maybe the sofik is moitzi midei vadai. Even though it's not likely that it happened pre, it's a sofik, but nevertheless, based on Rav Chizda's svara, ain't something moitzi midei vadai, I should say. Avadi, he travels perfectly, he doesn't have to travel again. But based on this price, it says he does. Loy also loy tefillah. Is a chaguta raya to Rav Huna against Rav Chisda, and this is Rav Huna Kishmaitze, like we said before. This person until now was Tomei, Hamed al Ches Kosoi, until you know for sure that he left his Chazaka. What's for sure that I know that he toivled perfectly? I don't know if he toivled perfectly or not, because maybe a Chatzitza. Is a Chodesh Tarka right, Rav Huna against Rav Chisda. Everything more Shani Hosan Nishkarai. In other words, Yimor is now saying to Rava, we can say that this Brisa goes according to Rav Chisda after all. Why Shani Hosam the Ikalim Eimer Hamid Tomir Al Cheskosev Eimer Loi Tavad? The reason over there that he has to Tovel again is because he was Tomei until now, will be Mamid on his original Chazaka that he was Tomei, and we will say that he didn't Tovel properly, and that's why he has to Tovel again. Frey Timura, okay, good. But Hochanami say the same thing with Gabi the Behema, the Svara of Rav Huna. Hamid Behema al Chaskasa, Ve'im Eloi Nishkata. Let's go and say about this Behema that it remains on its Chazaka, that it's ostered to eat until a proper Shkita. Ve'im Eloi Nishkata. And maybe there was not a proper Shkita. There was certainly a proper. You see, the Behema is dead, it's on the floor, and you see it was Geshochten in both of the Simon. What do you mean that it was not Shkita? He came out of the mikveh, he was wet, and he needed the towel to dry him. So Avali is Tovel Fenech. He's a Timur, a Mazel Tabah, Alida Beireyesa. There's a fundamental problem with this tefillah, because maybe he had a chatzitza on. So Timur, Hachanami is Alida Beireyesa. Here too, there's a Vade Dika Reyesa. What was the Reyesa? That, in fact, we have a situation where the sakin is pogam. And for the Gemara Reyesa, Hachanami is Alida Beireyesa. And for the Gemara sakin is Roy. Behema lo Yisroi. So Yimor makes now a very, very fascinating distinction and says there's a nafkimina where the reyesa is. Is the reyesa in the guf or iser or the guf of the shaila that we have, or is it a secondary thing? What would it mean to say? In the case of the tefillah, for instance, we're saying, what is the shaila? Is this person a tamei or is this person a tohar? There's a suffix in this person himself, because he may have had a chatzitza b'shas tefillah. He may not have had a chatzitza b'shas tefillah. Since I don't know, we're talking about the guf, not the guf for iser, but the guf of the shaila, this individual, the toivut, not toivut properly, we're going to be machmer and say, he has his chazaka of being a tamei, and the although he toivled, but there's a reyesa in that tefillah, therefore no good. Mashenkin over here, as far as the behemah is concerned, the behemah is perfect. Nothing changed from the behemah before or after, and the shechita on the surface was done properly. Everybody watched. There were people, gedolim oimdim gabam, not that it was necessary, but we know for sure the shechita was fine. So in the behemah, there was no reyesa. The reyesa was only found later in the sakin, which is separate and apart from the behemah. Oh, so maybe that's already different, says the Gemara. That according to Rav Chisda, when Rav Chisda says, Avadi, if there happens to be a reyesa in the individual that toivled, or would there be a shaila the gabi the behemah, the behemah became a treifa pre the, we know afterwards we found a sirch in the lungs. Was this sirch in the lungs prior to the Shechita, or did it happen after the Shechita? So that would be a Shaila in the Behemah itself. And then you can go and say, there's a Reyes in the Behemah, I don't know if the Shechita was done properly. Here we're saying that the Behemah is fine, nothing changed vis-a-vis the Behemah. It's only in the Sakin there was a Reyes.
It's not Shochet, it's a Nevela. If the Sakin was Pogam, it's a Nevela. So how can we, we're jumping to the conclusion saying it's Shochet, mm-hmm. when the whole question of a
but you're saying it's a Shver Eteret. 100% of Shver Eteretz, because we're not worried about the Sakin per se, we're worried about whether the Shechita was a kosher Shechita or not. And here we're saying, in the Shechita itself, there's a tremendous Reyesa. What's that Reyesa? That I see that the Sakin is Pogam L'Achra Masa. So I don't know when it became Pogam, to become Pogam previously, become Pogam later. But L'Maisa, that's the distinction that the Gemara is making. Where did the Reyesa, where did it exist, where did it come up? If it came up in the Guf of Behema, like in the Guf of the Odom, L'Havdol, who went to Toivel, says Rav Chisda, I'd be masking. Here, however, vis-a-vis the Behema, everything was fine. The Shaila was in this secondary instrument known as the Sak and the Chalif. So when a Reyesa comes into the Chalif, then I can go and use my Svara of Ein Safik Moitzim De Vadai. There's a very strong likelihood that it became broken or became nicked as a result of the Shviras Atzamas. Much, much less likelihood that it was because of the oil. And so therefore, Ein Safik Moitzim De Vadai, if it says Rav Chisda, the Kasha Nishka Kasha, there's a fundamental difference. Okay, so let's go and ask something which is closer to home to our case, and let's see what the halacha will be here. Meisvei, another brisa. Shachar es aveshet v'yachach nishmata hagageres. Here we're talking about an oif. We're going to learn later on in our mesechta, when it comes to oifois, you don't have to shecht two simanim, as long as you shechted roiv of one simon, that's already sufficient, and this is a dead duck, so to speak. It's already good kishacht. So now what happens if he shechted the veshet, and everybody says, wow, I've never seen such a shechita's veshet in my life. V'yachach nishmata hagageres. And then the gageres, that's the kona, that's the windpipe, it gets dislocated from where it normally is attached in the neck of the bird. So Shimon says, no problem, because once you shecht the veshet,
it doesn't matter.
And you can go and cut the bird into 100 pieces. Oh, you're
kosher food.
It's so kosher, but you already did a good shechita. What happens the other way around? Nishmato agageres, then unfortunately the kana got dislocated before the shechita. V'yaka shochet as a veshet, psula, because the gabi oifis, the nishmato agageres, is a simen dreifa. Possible. Okay, so those two halachas are all very straightforward. It's really haktoma to the next halach, and that is shachras aveshit. V'nim tzizagi gerish shmuta, v'ein yodeh im koidim shchita nishmatim la'acha shchita nishmata. Oy, now I got a problem. And of course, this is in the guf ha'oif. We're not talking about the sakin or anything else. I see now, after the shchita, that the kona is kind of waving back and forth there in the neck. Hey, did anybody notice that? Shoycha, did you notice anything? No, it was the same as all the other 50 oifis that I already shechted today. I didn't notice anything. But it's nishmata. Okay, what can I do? So we don't know if it was nishmata, koidim shchita nishmata, and that would then make it treif, imlacha shchita nishmata, and then it would be kosher. Anytime you have suffix b'shchita, it's possible. This would be, of course, similar to Rav Huna, that anything that had a cheskes iser remained b'cheskosa. I know for sure that this oif you couldn't eat until the shchita, it was eivim menachai. Now we shechted it. I don't know if it was a good shchita or not, because I don't know whether the oif was a pre-existing treif or not. Anytime you have such a shayla, kol tzavi b'shchita is possible. Okay, on the surface this is fine, and Rav Chisda would agree to this, because this is a suffix in the oif itself, whether it was a treifa from before or not. What's bothering the Gemara is, what's this lashon of kol tzavi b'shchita possible? It should just simply say that I had a shayla if the nishmata pre-shchita or post-shchita, the amro possible. Every time we have such a kol type of situation in a Mishnah and a Braisa, usually comes to be marbe another case. Aren't we talking about like our type of case? What means like our type of case? That after the Shechita we checked out the Sakin and we say, oi, the Sakin is pogum. When did this happen? I don't know. Before the Shechita was perfect. I checked it. I showed it to the Ruv. I showed it to the Rebbe, to the Rosh Hashiva. Everybody said it was the best sakin in the world. And now after the shechita, I don't know, did it happen because of the R? Did it happen because of after Shvira Tzatzamit? Ich weiß nicht. So my love, isn't that what the Braisa is alluding to when it's referring to kofel sofik b'shechita posel lasiyah ki aygavna? And therefore that's a riot Rav Huna, that in our case of the sofik in the sakin, it's also going to be posel called sofik b'shechita posel is a kasha on Rav Chisda. Every more life. This kol safik b'shchita that we're referring to is referring to a case where I'm not sure whether the shoychet was shoha or doras. What means shoha or doras?
We don't recall. Say that he was doing a shoha. He only did shohas.
Okay. Anyway, are you sure? Okay. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara, you remember yesterday, told us that there are five basic halachas when it comes to shchita, all of which are halacha l'moishim Sinai. What were the five halachas? You have shehiyah, and you have darsa, and you have chalada, and you have hagrama, and you have ikur. Very good.
These are all illegal procedures.
I don't know that they're illegal, but they're all invalidating procedures. That if you go and employ one of these five, then the shechita was not kosher.
Well, what's the ikur?
What's the ikur? Ikur, that's
no,
the ikur.
Like shehiyah business.
Anyway, so what are the two that the Gemara is referring to? Now, we'll mention, by the way, in the next parak in Kol HaShoichet, we're going to go and have Mishnayos and the Gemara that are going to analyze each one of these five in great detail. Here, our question is, Sofik Shoah, Sofik Doras. Shoah means to go and take a break in the middle of the shechita.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea at all. That can break the whole shechita. Now, we're not talking about a lengthy break where he goes out for a coffee.
Nine seconds.
I don't know where you get your 9 seconds from, but and maybe there is such a shear of 9 seconds, but Shua means that we're going to have a machloikis in the Mishnah, whether it's the man shehiya of another shechita of another behema, or of bikur. And we discussed yesterday whether we're talking about
after the rug. But he himself is the rug.
Oh, very good. Everybody remembers beautifully. Anyway, so we have over here a shechit that shechted. Nobody was watching. The shechita took a little bit longer than usual. That itself is not an issue because of the fact that the Gemara says later on that if you used a knife which was not as sharp as it could be, but rather it was somewhat dull, even if he was being shoichet for an hour, as long as he doesn't put any pressure on, it just goes based on the sliding back and forth, then it's a kosher shechita.
Doesn't the animal suffer? I mean,
that's a separate issue, whether the person's been over on Tzar Bala Chaim. It could very well be. We're talking about whether or not, subsequent to that, can you eat from the meat of this animal. So we're going to have later on that you cannot put any pressure on. If you put pressure on, that's called drisa, darsa, that you put in pressure. That passes it immediately. If, however, you didn't put any pressure, you're just slicing it slowly but surely, And it turns out that this is not the sharpest knife in the world, but it eventually did a good job. It sliced through the two simanim. That's still kosher. Shoha means that during the shechita, he took a short break, whether it was a half a second or a quarter of a second, 2 seconds. I don't know if you've ever witnessed a shechita, but a shechita that's done professionally by shechita, I've been to a shlachtos, I've seen it, goes, if it takes 2 or 3 seconds, that's a long time. They go, sure. Usually you don't even have to slice it more than twice. In other words, one way, molech the other way, maybe. That's usually, it's done. I'm sorry?
I think Morrison calls it molech and maybe, right?
Okay, we'll make sure we get to it. Anyway, so it goes very, very quickly. But theoretically, it could take longer. So if shoha, if in the middle of that shechita, he just took a second to go and sneeze, or whatever it was, that already passed the whole shechita. Same thing with Gavi Doras. I don't know what happened. Did he put on pressure? Didn't he do on pressure? That's the Safik shechita that we're saying here in this bicycle. Safik b'shechita is possible. Mm. But in our case, where you have the Sakin Pogum, that's a different story, says Rav Chisda. There, I would not say kol safik b'shechita is possible. I would say that this is kosher. Freitimar Maishna, how do you go and distinguish between this Safik of perhaps Shehiya, perhaps Risa, and the suffix of perhaps that this sakin was pogim pre-shechita? The Gemara basically gives the same teretz as before. Umayshna. So to Mahasim is a lead of a reyesa be-behema. Here we have a reyesa in the behema itself. Hocha sakin isroi, behema loy isroi. What means the reyesa in the behema itself? Because in this behema itself, I don't know if the shoichet did a shechita like you're supposed to, or whether he did a shechita b'shehiya or with trisa. That the Gemara considers to be a shaila in the behema itself. Hocha, however, our case, the behema, everything was fine. Everything was great. The shoicha did a great job. No shehiya, no trisa. The only problem is that the sakin isroi, which means it's a secondary item, that I find that the sakin is now pogum. Behema lo yisroi. So therefore, Rav Chisda basically just responds with the same teretz as before. But here the teretz is lechoyde even a bissel shvacher than the teretz we analyzed it earlier. Why? Because there's really no reyesa in the behema itself over here. The reyesa that we're talking about is a reyesa in the shechita. What was the reyesa in the shechita? That the shoichet perhaps was shoyhem. Maybe he took a breather, he took a break in the middle of the shechita, or darsa, he put on pressure. That's not really a reyes in the behema, it's in the maisa shechita. Then the Gemara says, yeah, but okay, sakin is right, not the behema, it was the sakin. So what's the problem with the sakin? The sakin is that if in fact it was pogim b'shas maisa, so that would be an ikor situation. So the chayra, it's a kamat apples to apples in terms of, in both cases, the shayla was not the behema itself, but rather in the maisa shechita of the behema. Here, the maisa shechita, the shayla was it pogum at the time, and therefore there was an ikur. Here, the shayla is maisa shechita was a shehiya and a drisa. So lechoyra, the Gemara's teretz is a very difficult teretz, but that's what the Gemara blibes that according to Rav Chisda,
Rav Chisda has quote unquote no choice because he has to fend for this price of Lishi Tosai. And so therefore he says, after all, still there's a difference between one case and the other. The Shehiya and the Hadrasa are in the Behema, whether or not this Behema ever had a proper Shechita. Well, here we're talking about it's secondary in the Sakin. The Shoichet probably did a great job, and there was no Shehiya, and no Drisa, and no Chaloda, and no Hagroma. No question. That's why I'm saying it's a difficult teretz, but that's what the Gemara says. That's why our Rav Chisda defends his position. So, Lemaisa, how do we pass? Can we have a Machloikis of Huna? Rav Chisda, Hilchasa, Kavasi, Rav Huna, Kisha loishi bebar etzem. If after we did a full-fledged shechita, and he did not do any shviras at some place, and now we inspect the knife, and we see, there's a nick in the knife. We paskin like Rav Huna that we have to assume that this nick came in at the time of the or, pre-shechita, and therefore it's possible you cannot go and eat it. V'ilchus ha-kavosi Rav Chisda, we paskin Rav Chisda, kisha shiba bo etzem. If post Shechita, in fact, he did cut up at Samois, we're going to go and say that according to Rav Chisda, that what did Rav Chisda say? He said that it's kosher. I'm going to be toiler that the reason of the pekam in the knife was because of the subsequent Shviritz at Samois. So, Gemara, I understand what you're saying, but since we're saying the halacha is like Rav Chisda only in the case of Kishiba Ba Etzem, it's mash mechlal that Rav Chisda held avagav the loishiba Ba Etzem. Even if there was no Shviras at Tzomis, Rav Chisda still holds. Makes no difference, since it happened post the Shechita, pre-Shechita, I was Boidik, and the Sakin was good, therefore the Behema is kosher. Frey Timura, Elvamai Hifkim, if you Boidik it before. And Rav Chisda says, I'm not worried about the oil, about the, that it got somehow nicked in the skin. And he didn't do a Shviras at Tzomis subsequently. So tell me, how did it get Ifkim? You know, the Malach came, was Poigim, I mean, how did it get the nicks? What's right. Going on?
The nicks were in the Madison Square Garden.
Exactly. How did that come on that knife? Today, your joke's on the cutting edge. I'm telling you, it's great. Very, very fine, very sharp, just like the knife. Everything more. Ema, the etzim, the mafrekis Ifkim. Oh, it could very well be that after the shechita of the simonim, after all, the shoyche, when he shechs, he doesn't stop after, okay, everybody, is it 51% of the simonim? Yes, 51. Okay, I stop. He just keeps on going until he feels he's done. And very often, beyond the simonim, after the two pipes are the neck bone exactly underneath it, that neck bone. So maybe that's how it got nicked. Says Rav Chisda, I'm going to be toile in that. We're going to see in the Gemara shortly that Rav Huna holds, and apparently the Gemara holds, that there's not that much of a difference between the oir and between the neck bone. But nevertheless, Rav Chisda says, I'm not going to be toile in the etzem, I'm sorry, in the oir, I'm going to rather be toile in the etzem hamafrekes, and that's when it became pogum, and that's why the original shechita was done perfectly, and I say that it's kosher. So we have a machlokes obviously between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, and as Yomar said, depending on the circumstances, sometimes we pass like Rav Huna, sometimes like Rav Chisda, and now we have a real life story. Have uvde v'toraf Rav Yosef at leiser chiyusa, meaning that Rav Yosef apparently was in charge of that shlachtos. He himself, of course, didn't do any shechita. Rav Yosef was a sagi nohar, so I'm assuming that he couldn't. But regardless, we had the shoichet come to Rav Yosef and says, Rav Yosef, you won't believe what happened. What happened? I used the sakin before I was boidik, before we did the first shechita, the sakin was poifik. And then after that, I shechted 13 animals in a row without being boidik the sakin. Wow. I was sure there wouldn't be a problem. They didn't use it for atzamais, right? We just did it for the shechita of the animals. And now after I finished 13 is, you know,
Bar mitzvah,
Midos Harachman, the 13, Midos Harachman, and as well as 13 is the gematria of the word Echad, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kina, Shema Echad. It's also the gematria of the word Ahava, when one loves one another, etc. 13 has a very, very magic number to it. What happened after the 13 times, I looked at the sakin, and guess what? There is a nick in the sakin. What do I do now? Do I say that they're all kosher? Do they say that they're all treif? Do I say half and half? Vosel chadotot. So to Yomara, the Torah for Rav Yosef ad tleiser chiyusa. Rav Yosef was matrif. In other words, he said you cannot eat until the Lashon ad is a little bit shver. Some want to take out the word. They say the Torah for Rav Yosef tleiser chiyusa. Well, we'll see in a moment why the Gemara uses that term l'chayra. So Gemara, keman, how did he hold? Did he hold the Rav Huna v'afile b'kamaisa, that he holds like Rav Huna, and therefore even the first one he was matrif. Mm-hmm. In other words, all 13. Why was he matrif the first one? Because that's what Rav Huna says. Rav Huna, he's paskin before, hilchas kavasid Rav Huna b'shalo yishiba bar etzem. He didn't use it now for Shvira Satzamis. He only used it for Shchita. Normal Shchita doesn't pasul your zakin. So what's the reason why Rav Huna says that it's pasul? Because maybe it got pasul on that initial oir, even pre-Shchita. Ah, so even the first one is pasul. So Zok to Yomara, although the Gemara doesn't have in it Nekudais, but this is a Wulash Bitmiya. Keman, do we say that Rav Yosef was matrif all 13, like Rav Huna v'afila b'kamaisa? Even the first one, he said that it was probably got a nick from the oir, and therefore even the first shechita was no good. So tomorrow, you have no raya. Maybe Rav Chisda, he paskin like Rav Chisda, ulebar mi kamaisa, and except for the first one. In other words, the first one was kosher. He said that's okay. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I hold like Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda says oir doesn't cause any type of nick or blemish to the knife. It's fine. So Ibazoi, how did it get a nick? It got that nick from the bone, from the neck bone, from the etzem amafrekes, the neck bone, as Ariel told us earlier. And so therefore, the first one was kosher, and only the other 12. That makes a lot of sense now, why the Gemara says the lashon of ad, like ad vi ad b'chlal, ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Is it all 13, or only until 13, but not 13, because mm-hmm. the first one is in fact kosher, but it's the other 12, because it got ifkim on the etzem amafrekes, and that's why number 2 is already no good, because it already had that nick. So, Dr. Gemara, so we're trying to understand when Rav Yosef was matter about Tleis Chiyusa, do you say Kirafuna Filik Kamaisa? No, it could be even Kiraf Chizda Ulabar Be Kamaisa. V'yibo Yisayim, no, L'Oilam Kiravuna. It must be like Kiravuna. It cannot be like Rav Chizda. To make this distinction between the first Behema and the other 12 is not legitimate. Why is not legitimate? The Ikirav Chizda Mechzi Mitle Talinan. After all, Rav Chisda, he has to be toila the breakage on something. Why do you assume that the nick in the knife happened as a result of the first neck bone? Maybe it was number 2 or number 5 or maybe number 13. If we're going with Rav Chisda's svara, that Rav Chisda says the only real time that I would say that it's possible is if I have some yidia, because otherwise, en sofik moitzim edei vaday. And what's the, how in fact this, since there was no shviras atzamos, how in fact did this knife become pogim? So, al korchach, I have to go and say it happened with the etzem afrekis, with the neck bone. So once I'm being told the neck bone, who says it happened after the first shechita neck bone? Maybe it was after number 2, after 5, number 10, number
13. It should be machmer because
and that's Rav Huna. That's Rav Huna. But Rav Chisda obviously doesn't hold that way, because Rav Chisda said back in the Yomid Aleph that it's kosher, and he holds that the first one is kosher. The only one the Gemara says is if it's kosher because you're assuming it was not nifkim through the ar, there was no shviras at summers, so then how did it become pogim? It has to be on the neck bone. So if it has to be in the neck bone, who says it was the first neck bone? Maybe it's the second, maybe it's the third, maybe it's the 13th.
The first chance that it happened was on the first shviras. That was the first encounter, possibly, with the neck bone. So therefore, we have to be machmir after.
So why wasn't he toiling the oil? Why was he toiling the mafrekes? The oil could also cause the same damage.
Yeah, but the oil is not a...
Because you say it's not as hard like the mafrekes.
It's not as shriach, I would say.
Oh, so that I would say the same. So let's see what Rashi says.
Like the west side building floors, you have to eliminate all 13.
Okay, very good. So if you get to the Rashi, Mechti Mitle Talinan, which is more or less parallel with our Gemara, Mechti Mitle Talinan, Zot Rashi, Davade Nigia Sakim Mafrekis Loipogma Tvei Me'ar. It's no different. The Or and the Mafrekis are basically the same. She'eni Makal of B'koyach, not that he went like a butcher's knife that you go in there. He was just slicing it nicely. So there's no reason to go and say that it was more Mafrekis than Or. Nevertheless, tell him, baby, cooler. Nevertheless, I make it's fine. Even if he shechted 2, 3, 5 behemoths, tali namir of chizim ha-mafrek is the basraisa makshalu. The only reason why we'd be toilim the mafrekis is because he throws up his hands of chizim and says, something caused this to have an ick. No malach appeared on the scene. Nobody was tampering with this knife. Al-korcha muzdach zayin, somehow. So probably the etzim mafrekis. But I of his the whole, you know, I'm not choishish for the oir, I'm not choishish mafrekis, but I have to fill in the blank somehow, otherwise it'll become pogum. So that once we're saying that Rav Chiz is going with the tzad, that it's lakula, 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 then even all 13, and when did the mafrekis cause the damage? Only at the end, and not earlier on. So therefore, according to this boy's Eima, we have to say that when Rav Yosef was matrif the 13, it was going like Rav Huna, because it wouldn't make sense according to Rav Chizda to go and separate and distinguish between the first and the other 12. That is, because that's the heavy duty stuff. Exactly. You have to go.
So he's saying that, but in terms of the sphere, the mafrekas and the ore, he said they're the same.
Exactly. Rashi says they're the same thing. And so therefore, the only reason why there's an ick, says Rav Chis, is because I have another choice. It didn't fall on the floor. No children were playing with it. There were no malachim. All I did was a simple shechita. I know it's not the or. I mean, I've been
why
a shoykh.
Why is it not the or? According to this, though, why Rav Chisda would be any more? It shouldn't be mako. Could just if the sfeika is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say Rav Chisda should say
he should greet to Rav Huna.
Yeah.
but he doesn't. That's what the Gemara is saying. Rav Huna says, if he was no Shmiras at some ways, we can be sure that it was the Or, and that's how it became Pogum, and that's why the first Shechita, no good. Rav Chizda said, no, Daf Geshibar Etzim. Machlad Rav Chizda, Avgav the Loi Shibar Etzim, Gemara said on the fifth line. Avgav the Shibar Etzim, even without any Shmiras at some subsequently, Rav Chizda says it's kosher. Why is it kosher? After all, we see that there's a nick in the knife, and it happened sometime during the shechita. Why doesn't he assume that it happened with the art? Says Rav Chizda, it didn't happen the art. No, it's not. It didn't happen the art. It's kosher. So but then, how did it get the? It must be. They must be the etzim of
rekis. Rekis is different than the
That's what the Gemara is saying. That according to Rav Huna, there's no difference. Chayre couldn't Rav Chizda. There should also be no difference. If there's no difference, then it should be no difference between the first oif that we say that it's kosher and the number 13 that we should say it's kosher according to Rav Chizda. Because according to Rav Chizda, to go and be toila the mafrekis for the first one instead of for the second or for the 10th or for the 13th doesn't make sense. They're all exactly in the same boat in terms of the likelihood or possibility that was causing the
Gap. It seems between Atzamos and mafrekis.
Oh, that Atzamos for sure.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but it seems like he's saying that with mafrekis, that you could be, he could say that's where it happened, but not, if we had Atzamos, then for sure, and then if you
it's a different pressure. If you're slicing against the neck bone as you're shechting, it's different pressure and different damage to the knife than if you're cutting bones on a table.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different, if it's a different force, a different action, a different fact pattern.
In fact, what Barry's just saying, and what you're also, I think, alluding to, going back to that same Rashi, Midla Tolinan, dividing the Gia Sakra of Rekas, Loi Pogma Tvemiyar, Shehari Eini Maka Olav Bekoyach.
Right.
The Iker Chilik is whether you're going giving a chop, you know.
Yep, if it's the pressure that you're putting on it.
It's a pressure that I'm getting from all sides with all the cash.
I know.
Normally today, most people, when they go and buy meat, they go and buy it already in cellophane and it's packaged and already says the ashkoch on it and the amount that it costs and it's all done. Years ago, I don't know if you guys remember, but you used to go to a butcher, you would go and point to, I'd like to have a roast beef, and then we would take it down, and if they had too many bones, or there was a lot of schmaltz on it, he would trim it, he would go and take, and he wouldn't trim it nicely, you know.
What was on the floor? Sawdust.
Right, to collect, to absorb the blood.
Uh-huh. Okay, very good. Anyway, so he would go and give a chop, bang, and give it, you know, so if you're taking a baseball bat over the head of something or other, then he would go and give a real chop.
Right.
So that's the Shviras at Tzomis, and that's very likely to go and cause a nick, because that's heavy-duty stuff. It's like you want to go and chop down a tree. You don't go and take a chalif to chop down the tree, even though this chalif probably could do a good job, because it's a very sharp knife. But Lamaisa, this knife will get a nick or two by the time you finish chopping. Here you're chopping at Tzomis, the same thing. Anyway, bottom line is, Dr. Yomara, that's why it's more mistaver that if Rav Yosef said that there are 13 which are treif, all are treif, as opposed to saying only the last 12 and not the first, because if you're going like Rav Chizkiya, then they should all be in the same boat. All kosher, all non-kosher, but to make this distinction is very schwer.
Would it matter if the shochet remember if he reached the mafrek? Because usually a shochet who does something frequently, he's professional, he'll know how deeply he pushed, he moved into the shkita zone, and he detects sometimes he reached the mafrekis, sometimes he wouldn't. Mm-hmm. If he says, I'm confident I didn't reach the mafrekis, at the first 12, would that help at all?
Could be. Agmar doesn't address it. You'd have to look in the mafarshim and the poskim whether they go and make that type of distinction. Maisa, you don't even have to ask so much to Shoichid, because you're supposed to be boidik the simanim after the shechita, so presumably you can see right now how far down did he go. Did he even slice the whole simanim? Maybe he only went 51%. He never got to the mafrekis. So, Gimara Baita. Amalei Rav Acha v'rei Rav Ravashi. Rav Kahana matzrich b'dikusa ben kol chode v'chode. Every time you do a shechita, go and be boidik the sakin right after. Don't have this type of situation like Rav Yosef. You shech 13 times on one pedika. Every time be boidik again and again and again. Keman l'chayre keravuna. Excuse me. Gemara is asking a shaila. The reason why Rav Kahana was matrich separate pedikas was keman keravuna or the mifsal kamaisa to determine whether the first one was posel, in other words, whether it was non-kosher, because unfortunately at the time, looks like the knife developed a nick on the oir, and that's why we're being boidik right after the shechita to make sure that the first one is kosher. Or maybe not. Keman kavuna mifsa kamais. No, maybe not. Kerav chizda lachshuri basraisa. Maybe the reason why is kerav chizda, and not to be pasal the first one, but to be machshir all the other 12 after that, or doesn't have to be 12. Any number of shechitas that he's going to do subsequent to that. So that's the reason why he was matzachid. On the first one, Rav Chizda holds that it's kosher. Why would it be kosher? Because worse comes to worse, the begam happened, not as well for the R, but as well to the mafrekis at the end. So that would be kosher. But the second one would be post-mafrekis, and therefore maybe there is a nick as a result, and that's why you have to be boidik. So not on the original. The original is going to be good, but only for the shpetadik, the later ones subsequent. Zok Yimara. If you're telling me, according to Rav Kahana, that you have to have a bedika being chod v'chod, why do you rely on the tabach himself? Let's go to ask a chacham, like the chachama ear, the rav, and go and show him the sakin to determine. How could you even go and rely on the shoichit, or on our own, show to the chacham if you really need a bedika? The tabach is neman, because when it comes to Yisurin, one aid you don't need al pishnayim edim. Pishnayim edim, says Rashi, is only mominis or mises bezdin, aroyis. But when you're talking about Yisurin, one is enough. Otherwise, every time that you are invited to eat somewhere, and even when you eat at home, if you're concerned about the kashrus or something, and your wife or the hostess or whoever's in charge goes and says, you have nothing to worry about, everything is fine, and da-da-da. How do I know I can rely on you? You only ate echad. I need to wait and bring over somebody else. Right. Nobody else was in the kitchen except a goita, and she's obviously pasul ladies, so you'd be stuck. So says, well, when it comes to Yisurin, eat echad is nami. Freaked hachi meikara nami, nami loy. Why do I ever have to go and show the sakin the first time that you're using it to the chachama ear, to the chacham? Just rely on the tabach himself, eat echad and be Yisurin. You write me ikra din. It's not necessary to go and show the sakin to any chacham. You can the shoicher, if he knows his laws, he knows his business, then we can rely on him. We only do it al tkvoid shul chacham. We want to give the chacham kavod and distinction. So every time you get a brand new knife in the shlachtos, you go to the chacham here and say, could you please take a look at the knife? I want you to be satisfied that everything is being done properly by under the shachlis. Take some, I haven't seen a knife like that in years. Wow, it's so sharp and so good and no nicks, gebaldik, etc.
But so knives get certified?
You talking about
evidentiary? You take and you cut something very light with it and see it, like I take a hair. And you drop it on it, if it splits in two on the blade of the knife, you know it's a sharp knife.
We're going to have later on in the Masechta exactly how you boydik the knife. According to one man, the Yama, you have to go and put on the finger, some hold you put it on the lip, some hold it you put on your tongue, and you have to lick it to make sure. But make sure if it's a sharp knife, you know. Yeah, big hazard. It's going to be... How often? I'm assuming that they do it between every sheet. I can't tell you for sure because you know I'm not in the business.
You said you visited.
I visited, but I didn't notice whether he used the same one or he could. Sure, if he did a bidik, he did it very quickly. But maybe there
before
the tabach himself. The tabach himself has to do a bidik.
Right, but when does the
it doesn't mean just you look at it.
Right,
the light, you have to feel.
The chacham have to look at it only the morning.
Only the first time, whenever the
second
was purchased and they toivled it. Now they take a look.
This is before your time. But they used to have a scissor grinder that used to come around to neighborhoods
and you
bring
the bells,
bring out your knives and things.
I still see it from time to time. I don't see it for scissors, but I do see it for knives. And
I always wondered, do you use that or not? Is it kosher? Does it have shamnunius left from the?
It's a very good question. In fact, this just came up very recently. A neighbor of mine, I won't give the name. When a lady was asking me, I said, this is beyond my pay grade. Go and ask Rabbi Blumberg. Go ask Rabbi Prager. Don't ask me. But she, in fact, was using those knives.
The sharpening stone.
Of a truck that was going by, I'm sure he was charging for it to go and sharpen every one of the knives. Anyway, it's
so
a valid question.
She was shechting and
she was not shechting.
She was kitchen.
But some of her kitchen knives were already a little bit dull, and this was a very sharp lady. Sharp in every respect.
Yeah,
so a woman can be a
sharpening. That's what he
says. Woman can.
Do you want to go into that issue?
In this day and age, we try to be very progressive and inclusive.
Not everywhere. Please go back to Duff Basin.
You just need to be sharp.
Yes, need to be sharp. Yeah.
Sharp woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Kol
see the top.
Yeah.
Look at the top choices. Kol shochten. Kosev Hilchis Eretz Yisrael. Can you read to me what does it say?
Kosev Hilchis Eretz Yisrael. The nashim lo yishchitu mipnei shedatan kalot.
The ein nira. The fil b'muktoshim shoychlis lichat chela. Can I read in parak kolapsulim? Kolapsulim sheshochtu diavet in lichat chela yirminu. And they go and say that even women are allowed to go and shecht. Elavadi, you should go 10 lines into the toises. Elavadi mishum de nashim shoychlis lichat chela fil b'muktoshim.
What does mipnei datan kalot mean?
Okay,
we're worried about people fainting.
When people faint,
they get squeamish.
They get squeamish, they see the sign of blood.
But that could be after, but she could finish, and then she gets...
It could happen in the middle.
But I'm to say datan kalos means something else.
Yeah, but here...
Right, so here, this is just for squeamish purposes, right, not for other purposes.
Yeah, other connections, when it says that datan kalos, it means...
Like for Eidos?
No, the Mora says that more than a man wants to get married... A woman wants to get married.
Right.
So that the kallah, the adas is to want to become kallah.
Right.
They don't want to remain single forever.
That's,
okay. Men want to be chassid. That's not
the
push.
That's
not
the
push.
Absolutely.
One
spell with a
kuf
and one.
No. Women nowadays might not want to be get married.
No.
Then
they some things have changed.
Then their doctor is kallah with a kuf, not a kuf.
My granddaughter could have had Shabbos Kala. I just want to get married.
Oh, you see that? Exactly.
So she didn't have a Shabbos Kala.
No, it's going to be on June 15th. God willing, June 10th. To get married. Just June all 10th. I want. I don't want this. I don't want this. I want to just get married.
Very good. Okay. Shouldn't he want a ring? Okay, so let's continue on. Okay, so now with this, we have after Kvod Yishol Chacham, we put a dot, we start a new shtickle. This halacha now that the Gemara is referring to is not just a shchita kashrus issue, this is an issue that runs throughout Shas, and that's how Rashi introduces it. As you'll see, the Gemara begins, how do you know that we rely on a chazaka, that a chazaka means anything? If you look at the Rashi and the second wide line, all the way in the bottom, both the Isser and the Heter, Yehud Eliel. How do you know that you can rely on a chazaka? Like a cheskes kashrus or cheskes Isser, how do you know? I'm going to learn it from Hilchos Negoyim, and specifically Nigei Batim. What happened? A person has a house, and he calls up his favorite Kohen on the telephone. He says,
Kenega Nira Liba Boyas. I woke up this morning and I looked at the wall and there was a terrible blemish right in front of me, and I'm wondering, ay, ay, ay. I tried to go and wipe it off with a rag. So Gunish Kaholfin, what do I do? So the Kohen says, just wait there. Comes running over, and he sees that unfortunately it looks like this is the real McCoy. Tells him, take out all your furniture, take out everything, because if you leave it in, it might all become tummy. Anyway, the Yotza Koyman Abayis al Pesach Aboyis, if he's concerned that this is in fact the real McCoy and Nega, you don't go immediately start tearing apart the walls and demolishing the house. You gotta wait for a week. That's what we call Hezger. The Yotza Koyman Abayis al Pesach Aboyis, Iskis Abayis Shivas Yomim, and he says, 7 days from now, I'll come back, and we'll see. Did it spread? Did it get smaller? Did it evaporate? Did it go away? We'll see. Okay, so now, what is the shear for a nega? So we spoke about this last week. It's a gris, and the gris is not only on clothing or on the skin, but also on the wool. So what happens if Hizkir Sabai Shivas Yomim, if he's doing Hezgir, that means that he saw that this blemish, this whatever, this spot, was at least a gris or more. And that's why he said, okay, we have to close up the house. Maybe as he is leaving and saying, okay, we got to close up here for a week, maybe that gris already diminished in size, it got reduced to a gris minus 0.01111. It wasn't a full gris. And therefore, says Rashi, then the Hezger was ineffective. It's a Gunish vet, because you can only have a Hezger if there's a gris or more. Less than a gris, there's nothing to talk about. It's Gunish. So maybe it was Batzle Shure. It must be because since at the final moment that the Koyin saw it, it was a grist, and then he went out of the house, quickly closed the lock and closed the door and sealed it. Of course, you're right. It's possible that it diminished in size from a grist to less than a grist. But come on, in all likelihood, it's still the same. And that's what we mean that we rely on chazak. So l'chayr, we have a good raya from here. Then when it comes to Dinei Torah, we rely on a chazak. Master Rabbi Yankov, Rabbi Yankov says, who says? The Dilma Kigon Shiyotz Derech Achoyra, the Kachozi Lekinofak. Maybe you cannot rely on a chazak. How could he go and lock up? Maybe it diminished in size. It's talking about that the Koyim did not walk out the normal way that we would normally walk out of a door or a building, but he walked backwards.
Of course, but we walk backwards too sometimes.
When?
When I'm coming out of shul.
Exactly. So the Gemara is going to talk about momentarily. Yeah. I'm very happy that you paved the way for understanding the walking back and forth. You did a nice pavement jump. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, in Shiyotza Derech HaChoyrov, the Kachozilei Kinofik, as he's leaving and as he's closing the door, he still sees it with his eye. It's right in front of me. Isaiah's. So therefore, you don't have a raya that you go after Chazak. Amalei Abayis. Abayis says to Ravacha Bar Yankiv, I disagree with your answer for two reasons. Number one, Shtei Tshuvos V'Davar. Chod El Yitzia Derech HaChoyrov Lo Yishmo Yitzia. The Pasuk says over here, V'Yotza Koyim Min Habayis. V'Yotza Koyim Min Habayis means that he walked normally in a regular 2 feet and going out. To go backwards, that's not called Yitzia. That's called that's not normal. So that's probably not the pshat in the pasuk. The oyin, and even if you say b'shas adchak, that is the pshat in the pasuk. For oyin achoyli hadelus ma'ikal meima. What happens if the spot happens to be in back of the door that he is closing now, so he can't see it from where he is?
In a mirror.
So therefore, I have two reasons to go and say, Ravacha Bar Yankov, you're wrong, and the reason why there's a Hezger by Negoim is because we rely on a Chazak. Maybe you're going to go and tell me, the Pasa Bekavsa, in fact, in such a case, you don't rely on a Chazak. It has to be that the Kohen sees it till the very last second. What are you going to say, Achoyah? The Pasa Bekavsa, you in fact have to go and make a window into the door, like you said, like a mirror, to be able to go and see what's going on the other side of the door. Ay Vatanan, didn't we learn when it comes to Hilchas Negoyim, base oifel ein poislim boichaloinois, literoises negoy. If it happens to be a naturally dark house where you don't see certain corners in certain places, even though they put on the every time candles to go and see where they're going in the room, I see over there, did you see in the corner there happens to be a negoy? However, if you don't have natural light, you only have artificial light, don't say, let's be poiseach haloinois, literally says negoy. No such thing. It's only if the Kohen can see it based on a natural look, not through any additional artificial means of seeing it. So you don't add chalonis, and you don't go and take a flashlight, you don't take your iPhone, none of those things. So Ibazoi, your possible eitzer, Abaye Singh Travacha Bar Yaakov, even if you're going to go and tell me, if it's a chariot, tell us, make a window. We don't make windows, lyricist Negoi. So therefore, for two reasons, I reject your kasha. And therefore, the chayra, the raya the Gemara brought, that we rely on a chazaka, is a good ray. Omele Ravas. Now Rav is responding now to Abaye, and he says, Takamis Yitzia Derech HaChayra V'lo Yishmo Yitzia, I respectfully disagree.
Right.
Why? Because Kohen Gadol will be a Mikpurim Yechiach. Tichsiv Be Yitzia. The Pasuk says over there by the Kohen, if you have the Ois Beis and the third Ora Shalim, V'rochatz Absor B'mayim V'mokim Kodesh V'lovesh V'gadol V'yotza. The Asa Sei Vasa, see, he's leaving now the Mokam Kodesh, he's leaving the Kodesh Kodashim, and when he's leaving, how do you leave the Kodesh Kodashim? With Tanan. Yotza Ubaloi Derech Kinesasa. He leaves the same way that he came in. In other words, he walks backwards. The reason why he's walking backwards is because you have the Oroin there in the Kodesh Kodashim, who would not be a Derech Kovit to walk, turn your back towards the Oroin inside the Kodesh Kodashim. So you see that that's called Yitzir. That's what you said. That's when we didn't know for sure that there was a nega. The only way to spot the nega would be to go and open up walls, to open up windows, to go and see it artificially now. But until now you didn't. So there's no requirement to open such chalonis. Where I know for sure that there was a nega in back of the door. I'm not sure whether it's still there or not. Then you're allowed to go and make windows. And so therefore, Rav is defending the kasha of Rav Acher B'Yankiv, and he's saying we have no raya from the case of the Hezger of the Kohen. You don't have any raya that you go Basar Chazaka, because maybe the Kohen saw it until the last moment as he's coming out, and if you're worried about him back at the door, maybe you're required to go and make a window to make sure that it didn't go away, because otherwise how can you go and make a Hezger if you don't know if there was a gris in it? So that was the discussion about Yivarova, and now the Gemara says, Tanya, I'll bring your raya to Loik Rav Acher Bar Yaakov, that you don't have to walk out backwards, you walk out normally, when you're leaving, when the Kohen is leaving, the Bayis Hamanuga, so it must be that relying on a Chazak. Where do I, what's the Braisa? It says in the Pasuk, V'yotza Kohen and Abayis, El Pesach HaBoyis, V'hiskas Abayis, Shivas Yom. We had this Pasuk already before, that was the Pasuk that we quoted, and the Gemara's quote is to use Barry's favorite term, you haven't used in a while, that we have the word of the Pesach Habayis, we have used here three times. So the Gemara is puzzled. Why do we have to have all of these Lashonis? I would think L'chadchila, V'yotza Koyim and Abayis, he leaves, he goes home, he lives twice, three blocks away, and then he takes out a piece of paper and he writes on it, certified that this house is now a Hezger house, go and attach this to the wall of the house and make sure nobody goes in, nobody goes out, put it on the door, make a big proclamation, just like a quarantine of some sort, stay away. That's what the Yotza Koyim and Abayis. And then the Hezger. So he's standing there, Pesach HaBayis. Maybe he has to stand right underneath the lintel on top where you enter into the house, because it's got to be Pesach HaBoyis. It says Yitzchak Minabayis. So that means that she eats him in a bayis kula. He leaves the entire house. So there seems to be a stira. It's puzzling. Here it says Yitzchak Minabayis. He has got to leave the house. And it's going to say that. But then it says El Pesach HaBoyis. He stays there under the mashkev. Okay, it said, Oymed Betzada Mashkev Umazgir. He's standing right in front of the threshold, right in front of the lintel. And then he says, okay, we're locking it up. He pulls it closed. Somebody else pulls it closed. That's all Lechatchila. However, Minayin Shem Holech Letei Beisoy, the Hizgir. What happens if Yitzhaka went home and then Hizgir? Oyshe Oymed Betei Chabayis, the Hizgir, she has Geiroi Muzgir. How do you know that old cell, the Dieved, works? Now, how do you say Mholach Letoich Beisay V'Hizgir if he in fact went away?
Right.
How can he be Mazgir? I mean, doesn't he have to have an idea what's going on and up? So the Rashi says there's something very fascinating. You see, Mholach Lebeisay V'Hizgir, the last line of Rashi, Ayidev Yidei Chevel Oruch Koin Shehoye Beisay Samach L'Sham. In other words, his house, his apartment,
was a neighbor.
It was opposite that other house, and Yitzhak went Letoich Beisay. However, he left a long, long rope a long string, whatever. This is a situation where you have strings attached. Mm-hmm. And it was attached to the door. And he goes home, and he now makes his official psak. Yes, this is a Suffolk neg over here, and therefore we have to do hezger. And now he closes it when he's home by schlepping on that chevel oruch. So what's the din? How do I know that this also works? So obviously we're not talking about that he's walking backwards. He's already home. And if he's already home, so I see that that's also sufficient for hezger purposes. Is the chayra akasha on... Not Akasha, we have a brisa to look at Rav Acha bar Yaakov, because Rav Acha bar Yaakov was trying to say, we have no right that we go based on a, we don't have a right based on a chazaka, because maybe he was walking backwards and he saw until the last moment, he saw that nega. But the brisa says he could already be in his house.
Far away, not out of sight.
And he did by remote control.
By remote control, exactly. So what did Vachar Yankin going to do with this price? Vachar Yankin can go into Kaimi Dora de Gavri the Amri Kirikoi Koi. He's talking about a situation where the Koi and Taka left the house. And he went into his own house. However, he left behind a line of people. And those line of people are now quickly saying, yeah, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Reuben is the one that's standing next to the bias. The Koi is calling out, no, what's the story? He's looking, has it changed? Has it gotten smaller? Has it gotten bigger? He's looking, it's exactly the same. The Kohen doesn't hear him. So Reuben says to Shimon says to Levi says to Yehuda, and the Kohen gets back to the Kohen. So look at the top, Rashi, you can call me Dorad de Gavri, O Echad Oymid Bemifton, one is standing there, Mamish, on the threshold, Veroya, Umagad Lezeh, it's like a case of telephone. And Reuben says to Shimon, Zelezeh, the Kohen, the Loy Batzir, and this happened in lightning speed, so you don't have to talk about a situation where the Kohen was walking backwards. How does he still know that it's Kegris? Because at that time, they're still telling him, yeah, it's Kekoi Koi, it's still there, the Gris is there, no change. Then he can go and make the official hachraza that this, in fact, is a Muska. So bottom line, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara saying is that Rav Acha ben Yaakov has a good point. I don't really know from here the makoyer that you rely on a chazaka lekol ha'teira kula, because maybe it went less than a grist. Let's talk about a situation where the Kohen knew for sure that it wasn't less than a grist, either because he in fact walked backwards, or like the Bryce is saying, that he had this...
Conga line.
A conga line?
Like Erev Pesach.
Conga line.
Conga, that's what it's called? So it's not a conga line.
People handing, like on Pesach, handing the... Erev Pesach, they're handing the circle of blood, the quantum of...
Very good.
A bucket brigade.
Right. So if you have no riot. We have concluded this Gemara now, and as we'll start Mishum tomorrow, we're going to ask the next question. You know, Amilta Zemra Bana, that you go Basar Roy.
Wow.
Okay, Mishum, we continue tomorrow.
But we have to-